Right, welcome everyone. The time being 5:30. Good evening. My name is Paula Reith, Mayor of Kingborough. It's my pleasure to welcome everybody here this evening on Monday the 6th of June 2022. A very warm good evening to those who are watching the live stream at home via YouTube. It's 5:30, so I officially declare the meeting open. I wish to advise that council meetings are recorded and made publicly available on our website in accordance with Council's policy. I'll ask the General Manager to confirm that the audio recording has started.
Confirmed, Mayor.
Thank you. I wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land, pay respects to Elders past and present, and acknowledge today's Tasmanian Aboriginal community. Our attendees this evening, we have myself, Councillor Reid, Deputy Mayor, Councillor Westwood, Councillor Bastone, Councillor Cordova, Councillor Fox, Councillor Gladewright, Councillor Grace, Councillor Midgley, Councillor Street and Councillor Wass. From our staff this evening, we have the General Manager, Mr Arnold, the Director of Governance, Recreation and Property Services, Mr Smee, the Director of Environment, Development and Community Services, Dr Stevenson, the Director of Engineering Services, Mr Reeve, our Media and Communications Advisor, Ms Adams, and our Executive Assistant, Mrs Morton. Apologies, we have none, as everybody is here. On page one, confirmation of minutes, that the minutes of the open session of Council Meeting number 9, held on the 16th of May, be confirmed as a true record. I have a mover in Councillor Fox and a seconder in Councillor Bastone. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Still on page one, the workshops held since the last council meeting. We had two. We had one on the 23rd of May in relation to the budget and on the 30th of May in relation to the University of Tasmania. Page two, declarations of interest. Does any councillor have a declaration of interest or staff member? Councillor Grace?
Look, I do for the last 15 years with the Margate Shopping Centre. But I have no financial gain in it.
Thank you.
I have been working on it for 15 years.
Thank you. So you'll stay in the debate then? Yep. Thank you, Councillor Grace. And the General Manager.
Thank you, Mayor. I have an interest in the item in the closed session, the General Manager's performance review, and I will leave the room.
Thank you very much. No further declarations. Transfer of agenda items. Is there any item on the agenda that a councillor would like to transfer from open into closed or closed into open? No. Questions without notice from the public. There are no members of the public here in the gallery this evening. Questions on notice from the public. There were a number of questions. First one on page two is subdivision contributions from Mr Stagg and an officer response from Ms Tyler Moore. Page three, cost of tribunal decision from Mr Smee with an officer's response from Ms Tyler Moore. Response to petition from Mr Casper Dean and an officer's response from Mr Smee. Compostable dog poo bags from Ms Louisa Diabel and an officer's response from Mr Reeve. On page four, trees on Osborne Esplanade and infrastructure from Mr Roger Tong and an officer's response from Ms Quinn and Mr Reeve. Also from Mr Tong, Browns River Bridge, and an officer's response from Mr Reeve. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no questions without notice from the public. Questions without notice from councillors. Does any councillor wish to ask a question without notice? Councillor Grace.
I have three. I note again, Mayor, the General Manager's report meeting with Metro. I did table a letter from the SNUG, used to be Progress Group, which said that we had the authority, May, as a council in particular, with the bus shelter, to prove to council that we didn't just paint that bus shelter without approval. I haven't heard anything regarding that letter. I would like, Mayor, to have some reply, please.
Thank you. Mr Smee, I understand, can assist with that one.
Through you, Mayor, I have been in correspondence with a representative from the family to ascertain whether they would like to take up alternate options to as a memorial, and I've yet to receive a response on that matter. So the matter is with the family.
Thank you, Mr.
Just on that, the family contacted me, not you, Mr. Smee, because they were dealing with me and they thought it was inappropriate that staff actually contacted them on such an issue. The issue that we've been raising is not a memorial. It's not only for those children, it's for the whole community. It's for cancer. Please, can we get that in our mind? We just had the cancer cup of tea at Middleton on Saturday.
Thank you.
And I just...
I mean, I don't know why you believe it's inappropriate for Mr. Smee to contact the family. We're trying to progress it, and so we're wanting to know what they would, you know, what they would
They're frustrated with this council, to be quite frank.
And I am trying to progress it, and
okay.
I have. But if they can get back to Mr. Smee to provide some formal advice, that would be helpful in moving it forward.
Well, Mayor, I guess... If I may, and it's only a question, but I'm going over my limit, as you understand, but please notify me and then I can go and follow things up.
Okay.
But if I'm not told...
Yep, no, well, I wasn't aware of where it was at the moment anyway.
Sorry, but staff need to come back to the councillors that raised this.
Thank you. Noted.
Okay.
Next question.
Thank you. Yes. The entrance to IGA at Snug I raised at the last council meeting, and I just spoke to our engineer now, David. We need... I thought you were going to get... Through you, Mayor, get our engineer to have a look. There is congestion down there with the way it's planned at the moment, with only one entrance coming onto Beach Road. And has been suggested many times by many people down at Snug whether or not council would consider a second entrance onto the street by the shop, and I forget that name of the street, but and the developer's quite, or the IGA manager is quite happy to pay for that himself, not asking council to do it, if it will. Assist.
So your question is, has any action taken
there
place since you... Mr. Reeve, can you help us out with this one, please?
Through you, Mayor, certainly that's one I've passed on to our roads engineer, but bearing in mind, in terms of us making any assessment for any accesses there, we would need to actually be provided something by the actual complex itself in terms of what they actually intend to do down through there. To my knowledge, I don't think we have received anything as of yet, but if they do have a plan, then by all means they can actually come back to us and talk about it. Certainly from a property perspective there, when it comes to driveways, generally what we allow is one access per property. Obviously this is a commercial property, but this has got a frontage onto two streets, so when houses have a frontage onto two streets, there is that option in terms of having another access. In terms of this one, it would be to do with the actual flow of the traffic to and from, but it would be based on an application from the owner.
Okay.
Again,
yep.
If I may, Mayor, thank you, Mr. Rees, but please tell me, and I can arrange that, because when I raised it at the last council meeting, you said that your staff would look at it and come back to us. So let's be more specific in the future about when we ask questions. If you want further information, please come back to us and we will provide that to you on behalf of whoever. I know most of my colleagues raise questions, and I guess they would do the same if you required, or council staff. We're more than happy to provide more information to you.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Did you have a third question?
I just have one more, and it's relating staff. I am getting very, very concerned again about staff. I've raised it last council meeting. It's getting to me in my mind, and I would ask Mayor, my question is, I think what our role is as a councillor regarding our role within our workforce to make sure they have equal opportunity or whatever, and I can't quote them all, but I'm getting very concerned. I've just learnt today another staff member has left, and I believe there's more to leave, and I think you as mayor and us as councillors, we need to have a special council meeting sit down and see how we can look at this situation with the general manager to try and...
I'm trying to find the question.
Well, the question...
If you can phrase me a question in there somehow, that would help, please.
Now, I was hoping you'd help me, but anyway, I'll do my best. Can we please have a report on our roles as councillors? So some councillors think we have no... We can't interfere with it, and we know we can't interfere with the daily operations of the general manager. We don't want to do that. But we still have certain roles, and if you could please explain to me and other councillors, our role is that we still have a role to make sure our employees are equally treated. And if, I guess my question is, if we have to turn around and pay more for our staff, we should talk about it.
General Manager, did you want to add anything to with an update? Or?
Thank you, Mayor. Only to say, Councillor Grace, if you're referring to the enterprise agreement,
yeah.
The negotiations are continuing. I understand that you made inquiries earlier today regarding a recent departure. The recent departure was Mr. Wade, who I understand has been appointed as State Manager of the Police Youth Club and has moved into that role, I'm happy to provide any further information that you need to give you the clarity you're looking for, Councillor Grace.
Mayor, I suppose I don't want to keep harping, but that's fair enough, but we are losing far too many staff, and it's time that we examine the whole operation of this council, and that's what Mr. General Manager, no stones thrown at you. It is an ongoing thing. We need to be able to address it. And I believe that councillors, we should be able to sit down in a room with you and others and sit down and see, do we have to put enterprise bonus of 3%, do we need to go? I won't quote figures because that'd be silly for me to do that. But, we just need to talk around the table and say to you, Mr. General Manager, give you a fair and open direction, because every time we lose somebody, it costs the ratepayers money because things are not done and then we get new staff.
I'm going to pull you up there because I'm not hearing another question, but
yeah.
I have noted what
and
you said.
And I will accept that.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Next on my list I had Councillor Gladright, then Bastone, then Westwood and then Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. Through you, I'd like to understand, please, has this council ever attempted to understand how other councils in states where there's no accreditation process for fire bunkers, like here in Tasmania, have still managed for its community to find ways for them to legally install a fire bunker?
Dr. Stevenson, perhaps? No? Yeah, maybe. Or General Manager, either or. Might have to have some lights off, please.
Okay.
Thank you. through you, Mayor, we haven't looked at other states because we're bound by the regulations in this state. So in terms of considering applications for fire bunkers, we have to consider our building regulations and our planning schemes. But as Councillor Gladright knows, there is a motion before Legat, and I have spoken to Legat today, and they're certainly working hard to engage the Tasmanian Fire Service and CBOS, the building, Director of Building Control, in relation to this issue, and are hoping to be able to present a way forward.
Next I had Councillor Bastone.
Thank you, Mayor. I have two questions. One, in the light of the Kingborough Council's annual report of 2019-2020, which talks about promoting a safe, sustainable and resilient community through practical planning for risk mitigation, preparedness and recovery. They're the actual words straight from the report. Did the Kingborough Municipal Emergency Management Committee look at fire refuge bunkers in this time, such as those which are available and legal in Victoria? And if they did not look at them, why did they not look at them, considering we had just gone through a bad fire season in the Huon, where the Kingborough Council had been incredibly supportive of Huon, and we had used quite a lot of our resources to help them?
Thank you. General Manager.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Bastone. Annual report you refer to, the working group received early feedback that there would be more value to be had from working closely with community groups throughout Kingborough. As a result, the action that was proposed was not proceeded with, and in fact, from memory, I think there was a notation in the annual report along those lines. But that said, staff do continue to work with the Tasmanian Fire Service. In our joint sessions with the Tasmanian Fire Service, there is always a suite of material that's made available to those present, the community members, and that includes leaflets on private bushfire bunkers produced by the Tasmanian Fire Service. Members of our community wanted to access that leaflet, they can by accessing our website. If they go to development, then click on building and demolition, and then click on regulations for bushfire shelters.
Thank you very much. My second question is through you, Mayor, to Mr. Reeve, and it's in response to an answer he's given me from a question on notice. I asked the question about the barriers that will be replaced on the boundary of the Woodbridge Uniting Church. When would they finally be put in place? It's now 5 years since an agreement was made when the council changed the road structure and accessed or annexed part of the road. And we were promised at that time that the barriers would be installed. Mr. Reeve has now said it'll be addressed in the 2022-23 financial year. And I'm just wondering why it can't be done now. It was promised, it's a legal agreement, and I have it in writing, why it has not been progressed.
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. Certainly until recently I wasn't actually aware of that particular document that was actually in place. I'm not even sure on the actual history behind it all. In terms of the issue that's being raised, it's more to do with actual potential vehicles that are actually accessing into the front of the property. And I guess that part of it has been assessed before in terms of whether, I guess, the quantity of the issue associated with that. Having said that, we are aware of the fact that this document now does exist. In terms of actually looking at putting some barriers in there, there's a couple of things that are actually in play. One is that we're fairly close to the end of the financial year at the moment. So in terms of actually resourcing or availability of resourcing there, it's likely to be into the next financial year, which is the reason why I made that comment. And I guess the second part of it there is in terms of budgeting for something along that ilk. We normally have a road safety project budget, which at the moment is probably expended, so we're going to be looking for the new year's budget there to actually fund those works in there. So it's based on budget and availability, and that's the reason why the comments were made.
Can I just have an assurance that it won't be left till the very end of the 2022-23 financial year, that it doesn't just keep being put off? I have asked this question on several occasions and it's always just put off. So can I have an assurance that it will be looked at early in the next financial year, please?
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. I can assure you that it will be looked at early in the next financial year.
Thank you very much.
That was easy. Thank you. Next I had Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. Through you, I had a question for the General Manager from page 62, the General Manager's diary. On the 19th of May, The General Manager attended a meeting with the Department of State Growth regarding the Derwent Ferry long-term strategy. I'm just wondering if there might be any details that may impact Kingborough or relate to Kingborough from that discussion.
General Manager.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you for the question, Councillor Westwood. That meeting was in fact a briefing by the Department of State Growth, who are working on, I suppose for want of a better term, a template that they may be able to use should the ferry service that's currently operating in fact expand to other sites. Notwithstanding that in the case of Kingborough, mindful that we don't appear to have the appropriate jetty infrastructure to be considered sooner rather than later, but we'll continue to meet with the Department of State Growth.
Next I had Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. My question is around staffing. Further to the earlier question from Councillor Grace, our strategic outcome 2.5 in our strategic plan is that council is a desirable place to work, attracting committed and engaged staff through progressive human resource practices and a positive work environment. So to tease out maybe a more specific question further to Councillor Grace, would it be appropriate for the Mayor and General Manager to consider scheduling a workshop for councillors specifically on item 2.1 of our strategic plan so that we may be briefed about strategies for improving staff retention and strategic planning regarding staffing, particularly considering the rapidly changing situation around inflation, cost of living and interest rates?
General Manager.
Through you, Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Cordova. That's certainly a potential workshop that I'm happy to discuss with the Mayor.
Councillor Mitchley.
Thank you, Mayor. A couple of questions. The first one relates to the General Manager's diary. 27th of May, attended Hobart City Deal Transport and Housing Project Steering Committee. I'm more interested in the Housing Project Steering Committee meeting and wondering if that meeting is the meeting that the previous Mayor Dean Winter would attend, and just any information in regards to that meeting, please.
General Manager.
Through you, Mayor. Thanks, Councillor Midgley. Firstly, to answer the second part of your question, no, it's not the forum that the previous Mayor attended. It is, in fact, for want of a better term, a working group, a subset of the Hobart City Deal, if you like. I suppose to briefly summarise the matters that are generally on the agenda for discussion are anything and everything related to transport and affordable housing that can be linked to the City Deal directly. If there was a particular matter that you were seeking more information on, I'm happy to provide that for all councillors.
Thank you. I guess that we are in a housing crisis. It's just interesting to know if there is any new developments or anything that local government can do, I guess, to alleviate the housing crisis. I guess if there's any discussions or new developments in regards to that that these forums might provide, that would be good to know.
So there was the Greater Hobart Mayors had a presentation recently from the Hobart Women's Shelter, who do have some funding available from both state and federal governments in order to build on any available land that they can secure. So they've been asking various councils to identify any parcels of land that might be suitable. Obviously, those bits of land need to be, you know, reasonably closely located to central services and facilities to be of the most use to them for both emergency housing but also sort of transitional housing, I guess. And certainly after the presentation that we had that was only at the last meeting before last, I think it was, I've asked that we have a look to see whether there is any land available, but as you know, we don't own that much land at the moment, and we did sell some off last year, the year before. And I had some other ideas of some facilities that we do have here in Kingborough that might be of use, and we've passed that on to the group as well. So we are sort of trying to keep an eye out for anything that we might have available to be of assistance, but certainly they indicated that really what they needed was land.
Thank you, Mayor. And I note, sorry, it's not a question, but if I recall, I'm quite sure that last year when we were sending the land, I did ask if any of this land could be usable for such a project. So I think it's very important that we keep that in mind for the future. And the next question is regarding the Night of Lights on Friday night, which was a really fantastic event. I hope many of the councillors went along, because I don't think I've seen such a well-attended event in Kingborough, even more than Love Living locally. And my question is really just to... So thanks, staff, and great, amazing event and idea from staff. And many people have noted that they love this and that council really needs to, you know, this is something that the community loves to see, and when can we do more of these? And my sort of comment really was around, well, I don't think this is in the budget for next year, but I'm wondering what was the cost to hold this event? And also in regards to food vans, did the food vans, were they charged, I guess, to be there? Is that the right terminology? Sorry, you know what I mean. But, yeah, I guess, yeah, what was the budget for the event, and how much did the food vans have to pay for attending that event as well?
Before I hand over to Dr. Stevenson to talk about that, I just wanted to add a comment to it, because it was certainly an incredible event, and I don't think... Well, I think part of the issue, I know there were people queuing up for a long time to get food from the food vans, and part of the issue was that we didn't expect that so many people would turn up, and it goes to show it can be a freezing cold night in Kingston and people are looking for something to do, so maybe we've started our own little mini dark mofo down here. And I know that we were testing the waters to see whether it was something that the community might be receptive to, and it seems that they've overwhelmingly voted with their feet about wanting to come along to something like that, and certainly the feedback that I've had since then from people is that, you know, oh yes, there was some inconveniences with waiting for food, but which I think also then did flow on to benefit a lot of the local businesses. People got takeaways or then sort of left the event and ate in. Everybody has been quite positive in their response to it, and there is a survey that is being put out now to people who attended so that we can get some feedback for future years. And I think it's quite incredible that we actually did this event with just sort of four community development staff working on it. Everything was packed down by 11:30 and ready to go for the really, really free market the next day. So it's a huge, huge credit to the staff involved for the way that they were able to deliver this event. But Dr. Stevenson can give you some more detail.
Thank you, Mayor. Councillor Medgley, the budget was about $10,000, and we used our hub activation budget for this program, which is also what we've used for the Friday Night Bites and similar. Our intent in trying something like this and having a community ask survey and seeking feedback and collecting evidence on the night is that we would look to secure grant funding to expand if we wanted to expand the event. And I do have on my list that I will provide some information about the event and request a meeting with Darklab to see if there's opportunity to partner with them in future. Just to explain, not only was it a very small budget and only four staff, but the only advertising we did was an ad in the Chronicle, our Facebook posts and some signage, and we got probably a couple of thousand people turn up. I attended and I was very aware of the food van issue, particularly the pizza van, which makes to order, which is very difficult when you've got a large number. Certainly the food vans who had pre-made food were able to move through things very fast, but everyone was very patient. I think everyone was surprised by the turnout. We based our food van numbers on our Friday Night Bites, and we did have extra than we normally have, and it clearly... we underestimated the appetite, but we definitely see that this program in future could expand through Stage 2 of Kingston Park. We could have food vans at both ends. We could use the amphitheatre for things like the fire twirling. So we think we can learn a lot, and even if we can't grow this event with a grant or whatever, we can still deliver a better event from the learnings that we have. We did not charge the food vans this time around, but we would certainly look to do that in future.
Thank you. I've got Councillor Wass and then Councillor Bastone again.
Thank you, Mayor. At Kingston Beach, virtually opposite the shops where the pedestrian crossing is, to the southern end of that, there are some concrete steps going down to the beach. And it has been interesting that there is a safety concern, and I'd ask whether staff would undertake an audit review for safety issues. On both sides of those stairs, there are no hand railing, and there is a larger drop. And I know elderly are concerned, and mums are concerned with toddlers that they're not going down steps, it's probably three steps, and just asking whether or not we can do an audit, because it may well be a railing is required on both sides of those steps.
Yeah, Mr. Reeve, can you help us with that one, please?
Through you, Mayor, yes, certainly we can have a look at that one.
Thank you. Councillor Bastone, did you forget something?
Well, only to say thank you to the Really Free Market, because that was incredibly well attended as well, and I think that was done with two staff and a tremendous turnout of people. So it was really excellently run.
And your question is?
No question. Sorry, just a gratitude thank you.
Right. Statement time. Okay. We won't try and carry that on as a habit, I don't think, or we could be here all night, but I appreciate you putting that on the record. Okay, if there are no further questions without notice, we turn now to page 6, questions on notice from councillors. I believe they're all from Councillor Bastone. First one in relation to funding for Kingborough, with a response from Dr Stevenson. Second one in relation to enterprise agreement, with a response also from Dr Stevenson. Third one, traffic counters, with a response from Mr Reeve. Next one in relation to barriers near Woodbridge Uniting Church, with a response from Mr Reeve. Public toilets at the Woodbridge Hill, with a response from Mr Smee. Silverwater Park, with a response also from Mr Smee. Electric speed sign on Woodbridge Hill Road, with a response from Mr Reeve. And speed limits on Woodbridge, speed limits at Woodbridge, with a response from Mr Reeve. Turning now to page 9, petitions still being actioned. There are no petitions still being actioned, and there were, at the time the agenda was compiled, there were no petitions that had been received in the last period. We move now to page 10, officers' reports to council, request for rates relief, recommendation on page 12. Before I ask for a mover, I do have an alternative.
Can I move for it to be discussed? Or?
Yeah. I don't know the protocol. Yep. I was going to move an alternative motion.
Okay.
Do you want to just hear the alternative? I've got the alternative motion, but I would need a seconder. The alternative motion, Mrs. Morton, could you... That's the alternative motion. Are you happy to second it? Because I was looking for a seconder. Yep. Sorry? Yep, I will. Okay, so if that's the case, that there will be a seconder, then I'll vacate the chair to the Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. We have before us Agenda Item 15.1, Request for Rates Relief, and a alternative proposed by Councillor Reet, which was up on the screen. Councillor Reet, would you like to speak to that alternative?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. The motion I'll read for those people who are watching. It is A, that Council is prepared to grant a partial rate remission and fee relief for the Kalis Group development at Margate. B, that Council officers seek legal advice to enable a targeted remission to be forwarded onto the anchor tenant supermarket of the development. C, that the remission period be capped at 2 years. And D, that officers bring a further report back to Council no later than the 31st of July 2022. The reason that I've brought that amendment is that I think we all appreciate that residents of Margate and further afield in the Channel have been waiting a significantly long time for this development to take place. A DA was granted in 2011, and since 2013 there has been essentially a hole in the ground. That has been very, very frustrating for members of the community. It is not a welcoming sight as you drive into Margate to have essentially a construction site that has been there for 9 years. And whilst I appreciate that there is an ask that has been put forward by the Kalis Group for 20 years of rate relief covering all the properties, I don't believe that that quantum is something that this council could contemplate, and indeed it would bind successive councils, probably about four or five of them, over that 20 years. But I do think that in order to ensure that we are seen as a sign of goodwill of trying to secure this development going ahead, that it would be responsible of us to offer some relief targeted at the anchor tenant for the supermarket. We did seek some legal advice. I had drafted another amendment that I'd circulated around to councillors, and we sought some legal advice on that. And the advice back from our solicitors was that we needed to have a little bit more time to work out how we could actually best word a motion that would achieve what we want to achieve. And so this amendment that I'm putting forward would enable us to do that. But still, I've put a reasonably tight time frame on it so that this matter doesn't drag out. We don't want it to. But I do think that we need to consider that we have to get this project going. And it's clear that there is an expectation, I believe, from the supermarket that they would have some rates relief, because that's the indication that's been given to them by the developer, and I would hate to see them pull out, particularly given the number of jobs that will be created at that location. Up to 100 people will be employed at that supermarket, and that means a lot of casual jobs for local residents, and particularly for young people, I imagine, who are looking for casual jobs when they're studying. So I would commend this amendment and hope that it receives support so that we can work out how to best target this in a way that is financially sustainable for ourselves, but also then hopefully acts as the incentive to get the development up and running. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Councillor Grace.
Thank you, Mayor. I must admit I've been a bit nervous when I first read the report. I've spoken to an awful lot of people down in our area, in Margate in particular. Councillors, just so you're aware, it's not the first sort of relief we've given to people in Margate. Banjos is one where we purchased land. I think Councillor Foxon can remember we purchased that land on the corner of Beach Road.
Point of order, I don't want to be quoted. I don't want to be included in the conversation when I can't address the chair. I do not want to be quoted as justifying something that I'm not aware of. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox.
Look, I withdraw that I know how
Thank you, Councillor Grace.
Yeah, I'm just quoting, and if you go through the records, I might be a little bit gifted than other councillors because I remember things.
Thank you, Councillor Grace.
And I will go back and find that because it was a document where council did it. Also, this council also passed a car park at the Snug Area School, which the ratepayers paid for. And once we built that car park and got it up and running, then the Education Department wrote to council, said they wouldn't allow people to park in it. So we've done things. The Mayor is right. Snug, IGA is employing somewhere around about 40 to 50 people down there. That's part-time. And I go in there often, and some of the other councillors go in there, and it's nice to see those young kids. Oh, I suppose I shouldn't say kid. I've got to be... But, you know, it's nice to see those young people get a chance in life. And there's been so many come back and say to me, thank you, at least I got a start, how to speak to customers and do things. Margate, I think, also wants this development, and I'm not sure whether it's still going to go ahead. One would hope it will. I only pray it will, because it's been 15 years I've been working on it, and it wasn't the developer's fault that it did not go ahead in the first place. It was this council's fault because they voted against it. The development, when they had a tenant to go into that...
Councillor Grace, we're talking about the request for rates relief. You've only got a few minutes, so
I'm
encourage
just
you
trying
to use them very carefully.
I guess, sorry, whatever you are at the moment, Chair, apologise, but I just wanted to give some of the new councils a feedback on what has happened over these years. Look, I guess the thing, the capping, I would have hoped that we would have assisted with the building permits as given them a relief on the building permits, etc. But the thing I'm happy with is the fact that this report, it says that offers bring a further report back to council no later than 2022. By that, I'm not sure, but I would have thought probably 2023, because then it would give enough time to see what is happening down there and what relief is given in as far as rent assistance to make it economical for tenants to go in there, because that's the idea of it. And I've had a lot of people, hairdressers and other things, that would like to go into that centre. I would like to argue for more, but obviously that's not going to happen. I guess sometimes one has to be satisfied in life, and tonight I'm sad. I do question the $600,000 that's already been invested down there. As far as I'm concerned, and I would ask the general manager to check that out, I thought that road was put in, which at the time I argued about, because there was no sign of the shopping centre them days, but I thought the roundabout and that other little side road was put in to relieve the problems at the Margate Primary School.
That's a question to the General Manager?
Yes.
Councillor Grace?
And for councillors, yeah.
General Manager.
Through you, Chair. Councillor Grace, my understanding is that the content of the officer's report is accurate.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. Okay, I have to accept that. Look, I support... I support the amendment, and I will support it.
Time.
Was that a drink?
Time.
Oh. Can I have another 20 minutes?
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Bastone.
Thank you. I'm afraid I can't support this request for rates relief on several grounds. The first one is that there is already a small supermarket in Margate called Bugsy's. Now, it's not a big supermarket, and everybody will agree with that, but I think the fact that the council would be giving money in the way of relief to another supermarket to start up in opposition to a supermarket that has been running for some time in Margate seems to me to be particularly unfair. We're very careful. We're not allowed to put a caravan park in because we would be running against a commercial operation that's already there. And I think that this falls under the same sort of guidelines, that if we're giving money to Baxter's in the form of rate relief so they can start up in opposition to a business which has been there for some years, I feel is inherently unfair. The second thing is that any other business that starts up in the Callis Group will not be given any rate relief. So it doesn't matter if you're a doctor or a dentist or a hairdresser or anything else that wants to go in there. It's we're proposing only to give rate relief to the major tenant, Matt Baxter. And I shop at Baxter's, so I'll be quite clear about that, and it's a wonderful supermarket that he's already running in Snug, and I have to drive past this hole in the ground in Margate all the time, but I think in all conscience we cannot support one supermarket over another supermarket. Thank you.
Point of order, can I ask a question? It's not Baxter, and this is the Carlos Group. We're not supporting, could you please direct me, we're not supporting a particular supermarket. This is the Carlos Group.
No, we're not. The motion we have before us is that
we provide
targeted remission to be forwarded on to the anchor tenant, which is the supermarket.
Well, it could be an other shops, because there's not just one shop. There's going to be several other shops.
Point of order, well, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Councillor.
You've provided the answer.
Yep. We have an amended motion before us on the screen, Councillor Grace. Did you have a question? No. Thanks, Councillor Grace. Councillor Fox.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have similar sentiments to Councillor Bastone. I don't think that this decision is one that... I think it's at odds with other businesses in Kingborough, not just Margate. And we don't give rate relief at the moment to any other business in Kingborough, whether we've done it in the past or not. It's not something we do. And I was on council when we gave rate relief to the Channel Court area, which was a massive amount and for many years. And council really struggled with that debt that we were carrying. I think it's at that time we realised that we would never do that again, that it was detrimental to the ratepayers of the community. The impact was to the entire community. The amount of money was in excess of what we're considering here. But I think in principle it's important that if people feel they cannot go ahead financially with a development, that they make that decision based on the market of the day and how much money they have to spend and how much they expect to receive, not on how much money the council is going to support them. If they're at a point where they need to do that, I think I shouldn't say what people should do, but I think we should look very carefully at the concept of supporting somebody who is in that position, because I don't think it's ethical, and I also don't think it's good business practice from a council, and we are a business. I appreciate the sentiments that these developments provide employment, but they need to stand on their own two feet. Thank you.
Could I just ask a question regarding Councillor Fox's comments? Was the fact that...
You can ask a question, Councillor Grace.
She says we have to be consistent. That's why I thought this motion was consistent, considering how much money have we put into Trade and Purple and over at the old high school site.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Do you have a question?
Yes, the question is how much have the ratepayers put into that development so far to get that up and running? Now, Councillor Fox says we have to be consistent. This council's never been consistent.
Thank you, Councillor Grace.
20
General
years
Manager,
I've been on
do you
it.
Have an answer to Councillor Grace's question about Traders in Purple?
Through you, Chair. Yes. Councillor Grace, thank you for the question. I'm not aware that this council has put any money into the contractual arrangement we have with Traders in Purple.
Thank you, General Manager.
Um, Chairman. I won't argue with that, but I have documentation to say that is not right. But
thank you, Councillor
Grace. I will raise that at another day.
Councillor Wass.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think there's a few questions that I would like answered before I go further, and that is, I understand from the original development that both the hairdresser and the chemist were going to be relocated, if you like, into the new building, and that the buildings that they're presently in were going to be demolished. That being the case, what rate impact is it going to have for those two entities now?
General Manager, do you have an answer to that question, please?
Through you, Chair. Councillor Wass, I'm not aware of any information regarding the actual tenancies other than what's previously been provided by the Callis Group. And to the best of my recollection, that hasn't extended past the heads of agreement in principle, if you like, with an anchor tenant. In terms of the other part of your question, the difficulty, and I suspect the reason that the Mayor has moved an alternate motion and worded it as it appears on the screen, is that the Valuer General rates the property based on the capital value of the land. And in terms of tenancies, there is no capital valuation provided by the VG on tenancies, which I suspect is why the alternate recommendation that the Mayor has moved has been worded the way it's worded.
Thank you, Mr. General Manager. I asked that question virtually as a rhetorical question because I don't believe anyone knows. And the General Manager simply confirmed that as well. I'm also concerned about the other tenants, both now and the short-term future tenants. Are they going to get rate relief? My other concern is there's nothing in the motion that talks about a building time frame. Now, if Mr. Baxter goes ahead in 5 years' time...
Point of order, Deputy Mayor, and I'm sorry to interrupt. The information in relation to the specific tenant that we are discussing was information that is not in the report and is information that was provided to us in closed session, and I think it's distinctly unfair and perhaps offensive in relation to get back to the meeting procedures to mention that tenant's name during this debate.
Thank you, Councillor Street. The tenant isn't mentioned in the report, you are correct, so...
I'm happy to withdraw that.
Refrain
just
from
that
referring.
That person did, in fact, speak to me and I assume most people. And certainly I would like to see him in that complex, and I'd like to see others in there. I mean, for the last 15 years, confirmed by Councillor Grace tonight, that's been an eyesore. In fact, Margate has been said it's the worst town or township within the state. It is just dead. It's not happening. And the thing is that if nothing happens on that site in the next 5 or so years, I would suggest that there'll be another site plucked out of the air, and that may well become the centre of Margate. I'm having difficulty that we are choosing one tenant. It's something that I'm concerned about, that the existing shops are there. They had no rate relief that are in Margate, and therefore that would be seen as being biased towards one other and not assisting them. Certainly from a financial perspective and a business operation, if it wasn't going to be a successful operation, then people would not sign on the dotted line and become a leaseholder. So on that basis, I think as been said by Councillor Fox and Bastone, I can't support this either.
Thank you, Councillor Wolf. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I'll start with a few questions. What was the $600,000 subsidy used for? Was it just the driveway? Can we have some more detail about that $600,000?
Dr. Stevenson?
Sorry, thank just you. Give me a moment to find my notes, unless the General Manager can remember off the top of his head.
General Manager.
Through you, Chair. Councillor Cordova, from memory, it relates to a combination of construction of a roundabout and construct 60 metres of an access road and a land transfer. I think, you know, that's what the reference in the report refers to.
Thank you. And through you, Acting Chair, is it fair to say that that was not works that were going to be undertaken anyway? That was a deliberate subsidy in order to encourage the development at that location. It wasn't going to happen anyway.
General Manager.
Through you, Chair. Councillor Cordova, the construction of the access road, from my recollection, was a requirement of the DA. It was works that was going to happen anyway. Don't believe the construction of the roundabout was linked to the particular development via a DA.
Thank you. And through you, Acting Chair, did the existing shops in Margate, in the Margate CBD area, not associated with the development, did the existing shops receive rates relief and fee remission of any nature?
General Manager.
Through you, Chair. Councillor Cordova, I've been General Manager of this Council since February 2014. I can't recall any other business in Margate or Kingborough, for that matter, that has received that in my time.
Thank you. And are there competitive neutrality implications, as was suggested by a colleague? Are there any competitive neutrality implications for supporting one supermarket over another?
I guess that's your own interpretation.
Okay.
Is probably the best answer I can give to that.
That's okay. Just two more questions, then I'll start my substantive contribution. How do we enforce or ensure that we don't end up offering rates relief and fee remission, and yet they still don't build what they said that they were going to build, or that they take a long time about it? How do we enforce that?
General Manager.
Through you, Chair. Councillor Cordova, I suspect that implicit in the alternate recommendation that's on the screen in Part D is that the further report, should this be supported tonight, would address that.
Thank you. And a final question is, regarding broadly rates remissions, rates relief, fee relief, have we done any kind of community consultation at any stage to see if the community likes the idea of giving ratepayers funds over to the owners of multi-million dollar developments? Have we ever done any research into what the community thinks of that?
I suspect the answer to that is no.
Thank you. And so if I might race through my 5 minutes now, I really do sincerely want to thank the Mayor for bringing this compromised position to us, or this compromise position. And I do also want to thank my colleagues and the staff for considering this, because ultimately the community has spoken loud and clear that they want something done with this development, and is a great shame that nothing has been done so far. So I'm pleased that we're here in a spirit of collaboration and goodwill to put our heads together to find a solution to activate the Margate CBD. However, the officer's report for the original proposal makes very clear that this proposal, or the original proposal, was not in the best interests of the community. And now we're looking at the Mayor's proposal, and I think that it still doesn't speak to the fact that the officer's report suggests that this development was going to take place anyway, will take place anyway, because of the population increase in Margate, that the business case is already there to do this kind of development. So we've seen examples in jurisdictions interstate and also here in Tasmania where local governments have constrained themselves by offering fee relief without social licence, without community consultation, and you effectively end up taking ratepayers' money and giving it to developers who already are quite well off and were going to do the development anyway. So here we're looking at an example of a developer that already has really significant holdings, and I don't think that the community would expect that they should be dipping into their pockets to help out, no matter how skint that developer is. We've all been going through COVID. We've all been going through inflation and cost of living pressures. We've all been going through higher interest rates, so why are we dipping our hands into ratepayers' pockets to give to a business that owns Hobart skyrise buildings, 14 bottle shops, major hotels, CBD rooftop restaurants, shopping centres here in Kingston? Do we really have a leg to stand on by giving ratepayers' money to these large developers who were already going to do the development anyway? And I worry that just because this is the only idea that's been presented to us in the form of a compromise, sometimes we adopt ideas that are just the ideas left lying around, but we really haven't fully considered what else we could do with this kind of money. And my core proposal here is that we parlay this money, whatever it might end up being, into a costed, a funded and a timeline responsive Margate CBD master plan, or a street tree strategy, that we actually take ratepayers' money and do something to activate Margate CBD rather than hand this money straight to a developer who may or may not use it and who has already sat on their hands for so long. The marginal propensity to consume is much higher among individual ratepayers than it is for multi-million dollar businesses. So I would posit that we would be better off just handing random rates relief and fee relief to 100 residents of Margate if we want more money to be spent in the Margate CBD, rather than handing it to multi-millionaire developers who already own skyrise towers and bottle shops and shopping centres. It doesn't, I think, meet the pub test, and I don't think it's fair to ask ratepayers to fork out yet more money. We've already heard that it was $600,000 so far that we allocated from ratepayers in an upward transfer of wealth to people who already own skyscrapers and bottle shops and hotels. I think a sign of goodwill would be to the community would be to offer a very clear timeline for a funded Margate master plan and a street tree strategy to help activate that CBD and fix the problems that in large part have been caused by a developer who has deliberately sat on their hands. So I think in terms of fairness to businesses and other residents, it is a bridge too far, and we don't yet know what the full costing of this will be. It could be a lot, but it might be a little. And I would posit that if it is just a little handout, why are we doing that anyway? It won't make a difference. We know that Margate is already growing at such a clip that the business case is there to develop the Margate CBD. And quite frankly, if a developer can't make this work in Margate at this time in history when Margate is growing so fast, they potentially are not the right developer for us anyway. So I think all things considered, the best idea to activate the Margate CBD is with a street tree strategy and a master plan that's fully costed and has a timeline to it. But it is not to hand out more and more funds that belong to the ratepayers and to give it to developers who already have plenty and who have already taken plenty. So I implore my colleagues to listen to reason and to refuse this particular proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Do you have a question?
I have two regarding. There has been a master plan developed for Margate some years back, and the tree scopes and all the rest of it, which the shopping centre was part of that. The other question I raise is the fact that Councillor Cordova has raised the roundabout. The roundabout was not put in there for the Carlos Group or for the shopping centre. This was a strategic initiative of council through constant pressure from the ratepayers down at Margate.
Do you have a question?
Yes. The Margate people petitioned to have a roundabout
That's
place.
Not a question, Councillor Grace.
Well, the question is, the question is, and let me think about it, is that the $600,000 was not spent.
Councillor Grace, that's also not a question.
And, well, the other question is that the Margate Shopping Centre didn't need any access from there because they've already got access
Thank
to
you,
the General
Grace,
Highway.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. That's also not a question. I would like to give my contribution now.
Fine, but you don't understand what
before I
the
hand
question.
Over to the...
Sorry.
Before I...
I'm sorry if you don't understand what I'm trying to
I don't understand. You're not asking a question. Thank you very much. It is now my turn to give a contribution. Thank you. Before I hand over to the mover of the motion, Councillor Glade-Wright, you'd like to make a contribution.
Thank you. I would just like to note that the development currently is deemed to be substantially commenced. It is my understanding that our mayor has gone through frustrating negotiations with this developer and there's still no action. What I can see this is aiming to do is to do something about that fact. I think we all agree that a large rate relief is not equitable. I think we all generally agree with that, not to speak on behalf of everyone, but generally that's the vibe that I'm getting. But this motion is proposing a partial rate relief. There's no quantum in there. The motion is proposing that we get another report back to council in a few weeks' time. I would actually like to hear from the mayor, if it's at all possible, to ask a question. Where are the negotiations at, and how frustrating has it been?
Mayor, would you like to?
I think perhaps the general manager would be best placed, because he's been involved in more of the meetings than I have.
General manager.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Gladewright, I've been involved in negotiations with the Kellis Group pretty much since I started with this council, to be perfectly honest, with a succession of mayors. And it's culminated in a report tonight to council. I'm pleased that the council's having that discussion. The report has been presented to council at the request of the Kellis Group, with their blessing for it to be in the open session of council. I requested their feedback on that and received a response that they were happy for it to be in the open session. Notwithstanding that, the discussions haven't been without their frustrations, and despite assistance alluded to in the officer's report, and I might add some of that assistance dating back some years, predicated on the fact of a commencement within a 12-month period, the reason that the development approval remains active is because the demolition of a previous building that housed a previous hardware business constitutes for the Kellis Group substantial commencement under the Planning Act and under the development approval that's been given.
Thank you. So the permit remains valid and there is no ability for council to force progression of this development. Everybody wants to see this happening. This is the point of this amended motion here. It's a small gesture of goodwill to get things moving. This motion is proposing that we get another report back to council in a few weeks' time to look at the actual specifics. For now, I highly recommend that everybody supports this in a way, just so that we can get things happening.
Thank you, Councillor Gladewright. Councillor Midgley, I think I had you next.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I just firstly want to say I missed that hardware store. I forgot it was 15 years ago. That was a nice little trip to Margate to the hardware store. And it's amazing that it's actually been that long and been, I guess, really such an eyesore and been the talk of Margate and many people who, visit that space for a long time. I really still sort of sit in the middle, and I'm interested to know what the Deputy Mayor and Councillor Street have to say. And I take all councillors' points, and I thank the Mayor for working on this amendment and really trying to think laterally around what a solution, a compromise can be, I guess, to make sure that we're not sitting here for another 15 years with nothing happening. But equity definitely comes to mind, and equity around supporting the business proposed to assist versus equity in what have we done in circumstances like this across Kingborough, and what have we done in regards to future development, businesses in that area, and so on and so forth. Councillor Cordova's made some really great comments, as other councillors have, in regards to the equity around that. When looking at the report, it notes there's the council's economic assistance policy, and that at Kingborough Council we do not have such a policy. And so when I did a little bit of research around that, I note that other council areas do have an economic assistance policy, and it does therefore give some conversation and discussion when these sort of circumstances arise at council. And I guess just to speculate, if Kingborough was to have an economic assistance policy, how would this sort of change the discussion or allow us then to look, therefore, to a policy to enable us to have such a decision? I'm just wondering if staff have any comment in regards to that.
Dr. Stevenson?
Sorry. Through you, Mayor. Council has had an economic assistance policy in the past, and you may recall I mentioned that when we workshopped this. And what council found and what other councils find is they tend to be very specific to a particular case being put forward, and they're not very applicable more broadly and actually can have some perverse outcomes, which is why this, from my understanding, why this council rescinded that policy previously. When I engaged with other councils to discuss what they had in place, they were all in response to specific requests that they had developed their policies. They certainly allowed some more rigour about things like what sort of controls they would put in place in terms of the decisions they made about what would happen if there was a failure to deliver on certain milestones. And one that's been quite publicly known about is the Vodafone Centre in the city of Hobart, which had commitments around staffing and so forth of that building, and when that wasn't met, the relief ceased, and in fact had to be, I understand that some of it had to be refunded by the proponent. But the feedback I got was that really their policies had largely been developed in response to these type of requests, and they don't always work then in a general sense.
Okay, thank you. Also, I just wanted to ask a couple of questions and note some comments that Councillor Grace made, which I think tarnishes Council's reputation, just in regards to the statement that Council is holding this up. I'd like the General Manager, through you, Mayor, or staff to comment on this, because I don't believe that is the problem, and I don't believe that Council should be blamed for holding this up. So I think on public record it would be good to...
Point of order, I don't think I actually said that in words.
I wrote it down when you said it.
But this council is holding it up. I did point some views out, but not. I didn't specifically come out and say that this council was holding it up.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. General Manager, do you have an answer for Councillor Midgley, please?
Through you, Chair. Councillor Midgley, the developer has had a development approval from this council for the best part of a decade. That remains valid. As I said a few minutes ago, it remains valid because the substantial commencement required under the Planning Act has been achieved with the demolition of the former hardware store.
Thank you. And I did write that comment down as it was stated. And I'd just really like to unpack this amended motion, if that's okay. So for point B, that council officers seek legal advice. So tonight, if this motion is passed, does that mean that it's set in concrete, or do we then further seek legal advice to see if we are able to do that, and then that report comes back to council? Can I just have some further clarification on that, please?
General Manager?
Yep, through you, Chair. Councillor Minchley, I think as it says in Part D, it would require a further report back to council. The reference to legal advice, simply put, relates to the requirement under the Local Government Act that the rates notice goes to the owner of the property. And the alternate motion that's been put forward tonight by the Mayor seeks to find a way that this council, should it support that alternate motion, might legally be able to target some rates remission relief to a tenant.
Thank you. So when a further report comes back to council, will there be a decision made or just a report to be noted?
General Manager.
Through your chair, I think the implication of the alternate motion from the Mayor is that at the time of the further report that the council would then be making a firm decision.
So just to clarify then tonight, this is to look at an alternative amendment as a way forward to encourage, I guess, the development to progress, and then there will be further research and legal advice, and then that report would come back to council, and then therefore we would make a decision whether to accept that or not. Is that correct?
Yeah. Is that correct, General Manager, in light of A up there?
Through your chair, I'd refer you back to point A of the recommendation, which is seeking tonight from the council the decision that council is prepared to grant a partial rate remission. And the further report is only required for clarity. The further report is only required so that officers can, in fact, with our solicitor, find a way that that part of the motion can in fact be done in a manner that is legal under the Local Government Act.
Does that answer your question, Councillor Midgley?
Put a lot. Yeah, it helps to clarify things, hopefully for everybody as well.
Okay. Councillor Wass, do you have a question?
Not a question, just to simply to say that if this recommendation for a rate relief is refused, I'd like to foreshadow that I'll move the recommendation in the original report.
Thank you, Councillor Wass. I think Councillor Cordova with a question.
I would like to move an amendment that the financial rates and fee relief offered to the Calis Group Development in Margate will be no greater than, so this is an add E, that the financial rates relief will be no greater than $2,000 in total over the life of the remission period.
I might just have to take some advice on that, Councillor Cordova. No. The mover does not accept that amendment to her amendment.
Do I have a seconder? Can I get a seconder for it?
No, the mover has not accepted that. Councillor Street.
No, I'm not seconding.
No, for your contribution on the amendment.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. This is a matter that I'm extremely conflicted about, and I'm going to be very candid about the reason for being so conflicted, and that is that I do feel as though Council, to a certain extent, is being held ransom by the owner of this property. I think they've had a very long time to do something at Margate, and as has been said on a number of occasions, despite a lot of work by council staff and mayors, past and present, there hasn't been any movement on this site apart from some demolition work. I'm doubly conflicted because in conversations with colleagues, I've very firmly supported the recommended motion, which was that we refuse rate relief altogether. Having said that, the motion that the Mayor has moved is different. And it's different in that we are seeking to target that remission towards an anchor tenant of the property rather than the owner of the property, whom I agree with Councillor Cordova, does not need the rate relief. I absolutely agree on that. But if there is a way to target that remission towards the anchor tenant to enable them to be in a position to take up the lease, which would enable the rest of the development to go ahead, then I think it is worth considering that. And that is why I'm prepared to vote in favour of the motion. because despite what I was hearing across the chamber before, while Councillor Midgley was asking what I thought was a very reasonable question, I do agree with the General Manager that the tenor of the motion is that it will come back to us for a decision once that advice is received. And I'm more than prepared to look at it on the basis that it is targeted only towards the anchor tenant and not to the developer who does not need the rate remission. If that enables an anchor tenant to take up a tenancy and enables the rest of the development to go ahead, then I think it is worth consideration from this council. The only other thing that I would add on the topic of seeking that advice is, and I don't propose to amend the motion to this effect, but I would say that it would be helpful to me to include in that advice whether it is possible to have development milestones for the remainder of the development included in whatever arrangement is come to with the developer, so that if those milestones are not met, the developer, the owner of the property, must repay the remission. Not the tenant, but the developer. It would be helpful to me to consider the matter if that advice was also able to be sought. So as I say, I am conflicted, and I'm conflicted because of the position that I've taken on this matter previously, but I do think that it's worth looking at this if it is possible under the Local Government Act to have a targeted remission in relation to the anchor tenant.
Yeah, my question... Oh, sorry.
Question from Councillor Cordova.
Thank you. Briefly, can I please have it explained why... So, in the Meeting Procedure Regulation 17.1 is, at a meeting, a councillor who did not move or second a motion, the original motion, may move a motion to amend the original motion. So I'm just questioning, can I have it explained to me why I can't seek a seconder for my amendment?
General Manager.
Through you, Chair, you can seek a seconder. At the time, I didn't hear a seconder. I don't know if the
Sorry,
Chair had a seconder.
I don't think you had a seconder.
Can we test again for that? Yeah, can we...
Oh, okay.
Is it okay to test again for that? So yes. I'm seeking a seconder for the amendment that reads to add an E to this, and the E would read, the financial rates and fee relief offered to the Callis Group development at Margate will be no greater than $2,000 in total over the life of the remission period.
Thank you.
And I'll read the room.
Yeah, thank you.
Seconded by Councillor Fox. Okay, thank you. So we have an E added to the amended motion. Councillor Cordova, would you like to speak to that?
The financial rates and fee relief offered to the Callis Group development at Margate will be no greater than $2,000 in total over the life of the remission period.
So moved by Councillor Cordova and seconded by Councillor Fox. Councillor Cordova, would you like to speak to your amendment?
Thank you, Acting Chair. The key question is, after Kingborough Council has already allocated over $600,000 of ratepayers' funds to a private developer, after Council has waited 15 years for the commencement in good faith of the approved development, and after all Kingborough residents are going through a period of inflation and a period of raising interest rates, and after, you know, trying to deal with cost of living pressures associated with COVID, the key question is, after all of that, after 600 grand has already been spent, is it appropriate to give a financial leg up to a private developer that owns high-rise towers, shopping centres, owns 14 bottle shops and is well known to have lots and lots of capital available to them? Is it fair that other businesses in Margate received no such rate relief and no such fee remission? Is it fair that the residents of Margate are expected to pay for a development that is not a charity or not for profit? It is to raise private funds for a private profit seeker. The key question of this entire debate is it fair that they get what the rest of the community don't? And is it fair that it's the ratepayers that pay for that? I strongly believe that it's not fair for the reasons that I've outlined. But what I think adding in this amendment does is it sets a cap at which we have a cap on the time period at item C that says that the remission period will be capped at 2 years. I think that's reasonable to put a timing scope over it because we don't want to be tied down for 20 years as the original proposal recommended. And I also think if a timeline is appropriate, there should also be a financial constraint because otherwise we risk seeing this report come back to council no later than 31st of July as it says at item D. That report might say we want to give Callis Group $1 million of ratepayers' funds, or 800,000 of ratepayers' funds, or 600,000 as we've already given, or half a million. And I don't think that's appropriate. I don't think that, especially without any kind of community consultation whatsoever, I would like to see, maybe here's another amendment coming, to put a newspaper advertisement in the Kingborough Chronicle that says, write to the council and tell us what you think. Do you think that the Callis Group deserves some of your rates? That's the question I think we should be asking. And so that's why I've proposed this.
Yeah. Point of order.
Yeah.
Councillor Cordova has just totally misrepresented the intent of the original motion because the original motion is not about providing assistance to the Callis Group. It is about providing assistance directly to the anchor tenant of the supermarket, and I just feel that he should acknowledge that a large portion of what he has just said is false.
Councillor Cordova.
So I acknowledge that, firstly, let me be clear that I don't acknowledge that a large portion of what I said was false. I reject that characterisation. I acknowledge that item A here says that the council is prepared to grant a partial rate remission and fee relief for the Callis Group development at Margate. I also acknowledge that item B says that the council offices seek legal advice to enable a targeted remission to be forwarded on to the anchor tenant, brackets supermarket, of the development. I don't think I can be clearer than that. That's what the motion reads, and that's what I was speaking to.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. I might just seek some advice from the General Manager. In relation to speaking to this amendment, are councillors supposed to be speaking just to the item E?
Yep.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Cordova. I'll just ask then if you could please confine the rest of your contribution to the item E that you've added because we have already had the debate on items A to D.
Thank you, Acting Chair. I encourage my colleagues to consider item E. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question regarding... Oh, sorry, I didn't realise... Councillor Claudia, I beg your pardon.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm not sure who had their light on next.
Probably Councillor.
Councillor Glade, right.
Thank you. I just had a question. Is this technically possible to make that amount 2,000? I believed that rate reliefs were based on percentages and based on land values. So is that even technically possible?
No.
General Manager?
Through you, Chair, it's an interesting question, Councillor Glade-Wright. The way I read the amendment with the inclusion of E is that if it's supported by Council, that would be the cap that would be reported on when the officers report back.
Councillor Fox.
I guess I have a question about item E. I have seconded it. We're offering $2,000 in total over the life of the remission period. The remission period in item C says it's for 2 years. I'd like to know whether those 2 years are starting from the moment we make this decision or from the moment they commence work or from the moment that the development is complete or from the moment that the anchor tenant moves in. Exactly what do those 2 years mean?
General Manager.
Through you, Chair. Again, Councillor Fox, that would be the subject of the report, but without preempting that report, it's fair and reasonable to assume that given that the rating system in Tasmania requires the Valuer General to undertake evaluation of the completed development so that this council is provided with the capital development without preempting the officer's report. My best advice would be that it's most likely the officers would be looking at a commencement period from the commencement of the tenancy once the development is constructed.
Councillor Grace.
Yeah, my question is regarding Councillor Cordova's statement regarding the $600,000 already spent. I think it's time that the General Manager gave us a full report.
Councillor Grace, you're welcome to make a contribution on Part E of the amended motion.
In Part E, I can't support, because he's stating that they've already had $600,000. We don't know whether he's had $600,000. The General Manager couldn't answer that question tonight, because that roundabout was put in for safety reasons. So therefore, my question is, does anyone know what's going on? Do we need to defer this whole thing until we get legal advice? I would strongly hope not. I would hope that we support the Mayor's recommendation, because it says up there that council office will seek legal advice. That will also answer the question that Councillor Street raised.
Thank you, Councillor Grace.
So what are we on about?
We know exactly what we're on about, Councillor Grace. Thank you for your contribution. Councillor Reid.
It's fair to say I don't support the amendment put forward by Councillor Cordova, because I think that it... $2,000 over 2 years, so $1,000 a year off your rates, I don't think is what the supermarket tenant would be expecting in terms of assistance. And given the magnitude of the development, I think that we need to look at something that is more than just $2,000, which would be a token gesture. I mean, might as well just knock it off altogether, the whole thing, because it's just a token. It's really of no value to...
Can I just say, it's not the supermarket, it's the whole shopping centre. It's not...
Councillor
we're
Grace,
just not,
not
going to give
order.
It to the supermarket. It doesn't say it in the report that we're going to give it to...
It does. B. Read B.
Because it's going to be...
Councillor Grace, you're out of order. Okay. Councillor Reid, would you like to continue your contribution? Thank you. My contribution on Part E specifically is very similar to Councillor Reid's contribution, in that I think that doesn't add any value at all to anything that we have before us. Councillor Cordova, would you like the opportunity to sum up on your amendment? No. So we have before us a motion A to E. Oh, actually, no, we're just talking about Part E. Sorry, my apologies. Moved by Councillor Cordova and seconded by Councillor Fox to include item E, that the financial rates and fee relief offered to the Callis Group development at Margate will be no greater than $2,000 in total over the life of the remission period. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against?
No.
We have a division. Those in favour... We have Councillors Cordova and Fox, and those against, we have Councillors Grace, Wass, Midgley, Gladewright, Street, Bastone, Westwood and Reid. The amendment is lost. That brings us back to this substantive amendment, and by my notes, I'm the only councillor who has yet to speak. My contribution is similar to Councillor Street's. Initially, when this came to us, there was absolutely no way I was going to entertain giving a large developer any money from ratepayers. I have, I guess, kept an open mind and considered what this might mean over the last 4 days since the report came to us. I don't want to give the developer a hand. I don't think that the local community would be very happy with us for doing that. I do share a lot of Councillor Cordova's sentiments in relation to this. However, I do know the community want a large supermarket. A lot of them drive either up to Kingston or further down to Snug to do their supermarketing. The space has been vacant for quite some time. It is an eyesore. I don't believe the developer has done the right thing by the community in keeping it vacant for such a long period of time, even though under the planning scheme technically development has commenced. I don't agree with that part of the planning scheme, but that's not relevant. If we can provide the supermarket with some incentive to accept a tenancy, an anchor tenancy with the developer, then I think this is worth considering, as long as the legal advice that comes back to us is that the rates remission goes directly to the anchor tenant, i.e. it comes off the amount of rent that that tenant will be paying to the developer, then I am in favour of the amended motion that we have before us. As I say, it doesn't really sit quite as well as it should with me, but in a show of good faith to the developer to just make a start and get something into that vacant hole in the ground, I would be prepared to support what we have before us as presented by Councillor Reid. Councillor Reid, would you like to sum up?
I have a question.
Oh, sorry, I didn't see your light. That's a question okay. From Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Chair. Oh, sorry. Looking at, so it will be a question. So when I look at point A, I can see the confusion in regards to the fact that we are giving rates release to the Callis Group development at Margate, but then in point B, we note the supermarket. I'm wondering if in point A, there could be wording to help to really make sure that the intention is to target to the anchor tenant, the supermarket, or do we feel like having it in point B is strong enough? I guess that's my question. Does that read that it's the Callis Group that's getting?
I suspect there's a reason for that, which the General Manager can outline for us.
Sorry.
Yeah, through your Chair. Thanks for the question, Councillor Midgley. The Mayor, I suspect, has deliberately worded the alternate motion before you that way because, as the Mayor knows, this Council has a legal responsibility to send the rate notice to the owner of the land. But the motion, as it reads in B, the Mayor's intent there, as I understand it, is that the remission be targeted so in a way that it can be forwarded on to the supermarket tenant.
Great. Thanks for explaining that as I explore it more in my decision. And the other question is, rather than the wording prepared, if we were to change that to consider, because we are having a report that therefore we will consider and that will be the final decision, why did we not say consider versus prepared?
General Manager.
Through you, Chair. It's probably a question I can't really answer. I'm not the mover of the alternate motion, except to say that I think the way the Mayor has worded it provides the maximum clarity that can be provided at this point in time in the absence of further legal advice.
Question to that. Right on. That's the biggest confusion, is the fact that when a report does come back to Council in that time period, if then it does get moved tonight and then if it comes back to us and the movers aren't happy with what's back in the report, if we say no to this, therefore, if that when the report comes back and we're not happy with what's in the report, the majority, and we can say no to that and therefore nothing will happen, is that correct? That's my concern, the fact we don't have the full information. And so, therefore, when a report is considered, are we able to say no? Because I would like to see the report, but yet I don't know what's in the report.
General Manager.
Through you, Chair. Councillor Minchley, I think the best way I can answer your question is to say that if this alternate motion of the Mayor's is supported tonight, then in seeking the further legal advice, Council officers and I would be involved at that stage, personally, would be asking the question of council solicitors that if a mechanism cannot be found under the Local Government Act to enable the rate remission, a partial rate remission to be targeted to the anchor tenant, then what are the alternatives legally available to this council so that they can be included in the report for council's consideration?
So then if when the report is considered and council votes, say, speculating a no to that report, what happens then? General Manager?
Through you, Chair. I can't really preempt what the report is going to say, Councillor Midgley, in trying to answer that question. I think the intent of the alternate motion before you is clear. If the council support it, there'll be a further report that will canvass the legalities of a way that this council can provide a remission that is targeted to the supermarket as the anchor tenant.
So could I put an amendment? I'd like to put an amendment.
I've got a question from Councillor Grace first.
My question is, now I've come to light that we're talking about a tenant.
That's correct.
One tenant.
That's what's written on the screen.
That's exactly right. I can read that. And therefore now, unfortunately, I'm going to change my mind and vote against it because...
Do you have a question, Councillor?
Well, the question is, how can we just put one tenant when there's going to be a lot more tenants in the area?
The answer to that question, Councillor Grace, is before you on the screen. And well, I'm getting very annoyed with you, and I don't want you interjecting anymore.
Councillor,
I will. I'm warning you right now, under Section 40 of the Local Government Regulations,
yes,
2015, if you keep interjecting, I will eject you from this part of the meeting, okay?
You eject
you have
me.
Been, yep, you have
come,
been warned.
You come and take me out. You're most welcome.
I'm
come
warning
across.
You.
Do you know
that
what?
That's what I will do, Councillor
you
Grace,
come across
because I've
and eject
enough.
Me from the meeting, girl. Come out and have a... You come and try and take me. You silly, I'm entitled to debate things on behalf of the council.
You're
and don't
entitled
you,
to
don't
a
you
set number of minutes, you're entitled to a set number of minutes, Councillor Grace,
yes,
just like every other councillor around this table, and you push the...
But don't
you threaten me, Deputy Mayor. Don't threaten me. I've had enough of you not threatening me. I'll be going off my head here one night, tearing this place apart if you threaten me like that.
Leave the meeting right now.
Go.
You will leave the meeting. I warned you. Leave.
Go and get the cops.
Is that what I need to do to eject you from the meeting?
I tell you, it was time this council was put out of business. Absolutely. You don't know what you're talking about.
Are you leaving or am I calling the
police? Point of order, Deputy Mayor.
Yes.
Point of order, Deputy Mayor.
Right.
I think it would be appropriate in the circumstances for you to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you. The meeting will be adjourned for 7 minutes.
Yes.
While we work out what to do with you, Councillor Grace. Well, and while I... the meeting is adjourned for 7 minutes.
Thank you. And I'll go to the toilet. Because I will not be...